It's a pleasure to come here tonight to speak about the mitzvah of Shabbos, especially to see my cousin Yisrael Hirsch. And thanks to everybody who arranged this year. It's a beautiful thing to come, take your time and learn something, especially what we're going to be seeing tonight, something that's practical, something that's a little different than the regular. And as Hashem, we will have tzlacha. We begin with the pasuk. Sharpness is a pasuk in the Torah where the pasuk says, "Like silver sharpness, seme upishtim yachta." This is an introduction to see how powerful. Just to read the pasuk, I was once called. Somebody was sitting in his office in Manhattan, and he was reading Sefer Avodat HaTefillah, the Sefer that was my brother-in-law. So he got somebody to write it, and he was reading in there. It said that somebody who wears sharpness, the tefillahs don't get accepted. So he got very nervous, and he somehow got my number. And he called me and he asked me if I can go to his home to check all his clothing for sharpness. I asked him, where does he live? He lives in Long Island. Going from Lakewood to Long Island, 3 hours during the day. But he didn't want to take no for an answer. I didn't have a choice. I had to get there. So I arrived at the home. He was in his office. His wife was there. I bring out my microscope or my knives or my tools. I set it up on the table and I asked the woman to bring me some clothing. That's what I came for, to test. So she brings me one suit. I'm thinking I came all the way to check one suit, but it happened to be a Hugo Boss. Hugo Boss is notorious for sharpness, usually has it in the collar. And of course it had sharpness, and I tell her I'm gonna have to remove a certain part of it. So she's getting nervous and she doesn't know what to do with herself. She says, "I thought you just came to bless the clothing, and here you're coming to cut it apart." And she's talking to her husband on the phone and she's saying, "This is her the wedding suit, the suit that her husband has got married in, and what am I going to do to it?" But Hasiyata Dishmaya, I asked her if she has a chumash. Baruch Hashem, she brought me a chumash or an English translation. And I turned to the pasuk and I show her. This is a pasuk in the Torah which says, "Do not wear tzeme upishtim, wool and linen." And I showed her where the wool is and where the linen is. And she was so amazed at what I was actually doing as a pasuk in the Torah. She let me do whatever I needed to do. And in that home, I found more than 10 garments that were sharpness. So just reading the pasuk is a tremendous message. So this is what we're going to learn tonight. From these few words, there's tilei tilim shel halachos. There's many simonim, really 7 simonim in Shulchan Aruch, which is all based on these few words. So firstly, what is sharpness? The taich of the word sharpness is a taravet, is a mixture. And this is what the Torah said, we're not allowed to mix the wool and the linen together. Wearing wool by itself is perfectly okay. Linen by itself is perfectly okay. What the Torah doesn't want is the mixture of these two things together. What type of a mixture creates the issa? So that's all the halachas of sharpness. Firstly, what is sharpness? Seme, the pasuk says seme, so the Yerushalmi explains that seme stam, when it says seme by itself, is referring to sheep's wool. So one is not allowed to take sheep's wool and mix it together with pishtim. Pishtim is linen. Pishtim is a flax, is a plant, and it's really from the stem of the flax plant is where they produce the linen fiber. So here, these are the dried out stalks of linen, and it's from these stalks that one, so unassuming, one would think that these are just plain weeds, is where the linen fabric is created. And the Torah is telling us, do not take these two things and mix them together. So why are we not allowed to mix Sama upishim, wool and linen. So really, shatnez is a chayk, one of those mitzvahs that we do without understanding. That's what Rashi says. However, the Ramban asks on Rashi, what do you mean it's a chayk? Every chayk, I just gave you a reason. The mitzvah of shatnez is ma'akev the tefillahs. You wear shatnez, the tefillahs is not accepted. So what does it mean, shatnez is a chayk? The Ramban argues with Rashi and says, it doesn't mean, chayk does not mean it doesn't have a reason. It means the reasons are not apparent. When you read the pasuk, it doesn't seem to make sense. But of course, if you look in the Midrashim, you find Talmud. So one of the Talmud I want to mention is the Medrash Tanchuma of Cain and Hevel. Cain brought a carbon. What was the carbon of Cain? Was Zera Pishtan, as you see on the stalks of linen. There's these seed pods. And this is what Cain brought as a carbon. His carbon was not accepted. Hevel, his brother, brought Mibchayre Sinai from the best of his sheep, and his carbon was accepted. The Cain killed his brother Hevel. So the Medrash says, this is the reason why we don't wear shatnez. Shelo yis'arev minchas hachotei and minchas hazakai. We don't mix the two carbonas together. So Rabbi Avigdor Miller added that the reason of shatnez is also to make sure that all our friends are good people. We don't mix the chayte with the zakai. Everybody has to make sure that they stay with good friends only.
It's a zecher.
It's not the reason, but that's an extension of the mitzvah of shas. That's another message that we learned from the mitzvah. So what's the first step in keeping this mitzvah? Sounds very obvious. It's getting used to reading the labels. I would say once every 2 weeks, I get an actual garment that says is made of wool and linen. So it's just so easy to read the label, and you can see it says on the label wool and linen. Sometimes it's so unassuming. Here's an example. Here's a J. Crew sweater. Looks like a regular sweater. And on the label it says, it's made of wool and linen. It says it's made of 55% wool, 45% linen. That's it, just wool and linen. And it doesn't even look like anything.
It's not in the collar, it's in the weave.
Yeah, exactly. Now just to show you something very interesting, an amazing savings, they're selling now pillows. It says on the label wool and linen. Here we're going to learn about what tarevis, what mixtures create the issur shatnez. But just says it on the label, it's made of wool and linen. It's only $8.99. And it's the white is a linen fabric, and the embroidery, some parts of the embroidery is wool.
And even though you don't wear it, right?
When we get to that, we'll see why this is it. It's a So in this label that I'm presenting here, it says it's 54% wool, 46% linen. This actually came from a garment which was just a jacket. There was no shoulder pads, there was no linings to it. It was just a shell. And it was very unassuming because on the outside it appeared like a synthetic fabric, and it did say on the label as acetate and cotton. Because this particular woman that brought it into the laboratory, she brings everything into the laboratory. So this was a part of the things that she brought in, and she was shocked when I showed her that it actually said on the label wool and linen, which was the interfacing, which was fused onto the inside of the fabric, was a beige fabric that was wool and linen. And what was shocking, because she had bought it in Florida on a final sale for $900, and she wasn't too happy. But my experience is that I've written letters to companies and to stores explaining to them what is shatnez, and non-Jewish stores, they have respect to the Torah, to the Yiddish guide, and they go above the law and they would at least give a store credit. And that's exactly what happened. We wrote a letter, we sent it back to the store, and they did issue a store credit. when the woman went back to Florida to on vacation, so she went into the store to use her store credit, and she finds something to buy. She comes to the cashier, and the cashier looks at her, and then takes the garment, reads the label. It doesn't say woolen linen. You could buy it. Now, the cashier didn't know that it was this particular lady, but what happened was, since he'd gotten my letter, that when he saw it was a Jewish woman that was trying to buy something, that's what he would do. And he said, prior to that, he had to save somebody from buying something that said woolen linen. So this is an obvious thing, but every company is making garments that are made of woolen linen. Just start, they make woolen cotton, woolen silk. They use that combination too.
Has any advantage that they use?
No, it's just the appearance. They like the look. So just to show you, we all know that we test jackets and we test coats, but just like to broaden your scope and show you how we find shatnez and other things too. I brought a lot of different recent findings that we found recently in the past year. But here I'm showing first a sweater. The sweater has an applique, has a picture on it. And sometimes they build the picture, they build it with different fabrics. And sometimes the fabrics that they use is wool and linen. And I'm also showing you two sweaters, because even though it looks identical, however, when you look closely, you'll see they're not so identical. And only one of them is shatnez. So it's good this person brought in both sweaters. Had they only brought in one and that one wasn't shatnez, so they would have thought the other one is okay. Here I have a little child sweater, which is sold, which was found this past winter. And I'm sure there's many of them on the market. It's a wool sweater and it's sewn with a linen thread. There's an actual linen thread that was used to sew this little child sweater. And that's what we're showing here. This is another problem that we have with sweaters, but this is not such a common problem. The most common problem we have in wool sweaters, and hopefully we'll get to it, we'll explain why this is Issa Deraisa, it's not just the Issa Derabanan, is that we find in the joints of the sweaters, we find little remnants of threads, which maybe it's leftover basting yarns. And you have to know how to find them, because when you look at the sweater, you don't see it, you have to pluck them out. And sometimes those little threads are linen and the sweater is wool. So you have a little thread of linen knotted into a woolen sweater. That's also shatnez de'oraisa, which we'll get into soon. What exactly is shatnez de'oraisa? Here's a child's wool knit hat, which said on the label 100% wool. When it says 100% wool, that means the fabric. It doesn't tell you about anything else. This particular hat was sold in the Jewish stores in Monsi and in Barfag, and it was sealed all the way on top with a linen thread. Just like we check anything made of wool, so too we also have to be more careful to check anything made of linen. Linen sweaters have a 50% chance of being shatnez, more than anything else. One of the type of garments that has the highest percentage of shatnez is a linen sweater. This afternoon, before I came, I had a linen sweater to test, and all the overlocking stitches, which is the stitching that was holding all the panels of the sweater, was wool. Here's another J. Crew sweater, which says on the label polyester and linen. This sweater is with wool, linen, and polyester. It's mislabeled.
What, the string?
No, the actual sweater is wool, linen, and polyester.
They don't have to put the word wool on it.
They were supposed to write wool, but
is there
it's mislabeled.
2% law? There's
no, this is a lot of wool.
J. Crew label is under 1%.
This is more than 1%. This is,
I know.
No, but I mean, in general, if it's less than 1%, how should you know?
Bring it.
If it says linen on the label, then you should check. If it says wool on the label, you should check. Here's a little girl's dress.
Sorry,
converting the whole water to
If it mentions wool or mentions linen, then you should check. There has to be a reason why you want to check it. If it doesn't mention wool or linen, as of now, the presentation, you don't need to check it, but I'll demonstrate to you when you would need it. Here's a linen dress. That the black panel, the gray is linen, and the black panels were wool. Okay. Now, the word shatnez, we translated before to mean a mixture. The tzlach says the word shatnez makes the word satan out. The satan tries very hard to infiltrate into the Jewish stores, the Jewish homes, at least one or two garments of shatnez. When I do what's called house calls, I sometimes go to people's homes to check, because it's too difficult to bring everything to the lavatory once people find out what exactly needs requires testing. So we have a service that we go to people's homes. I would say about 70% of the homes that I go in and I test, I always find a few garments, one, two, or three or more, that are shatnez. And the sultan likes that because shatnez is different than any other mitzvah. The chaymer ha'issa of shatnez is more than anything else, because korega verega, every moment of wearing a garment that is shatnez is another law, is another issa. It's in 1 minute of wearing a garment that is shatnez, you're over more than 60 lavin. In 1 hour, a person sometimes has a garment of shatnez that was worn for a couple of months or a couple of years. That one garment, and sometimes it can pass down from one child to another. So the sultan likes it because with one little thing, he could accomplish so much.
How long does it take to test an entire house?
Depends how much clothing people have.
Yeah. You know, wife and couple
of kids. So it's usually an average of 2 hours or 3 hours. Yeah, that doesn't take that long. Because a lot of the garments don't have to be checked. So now what we're going to get into is what is shatnez d'oraisa and what is shatnez d'rabbanan. So if the Torah would have just said, lo silbash tzemer u'pishtim, do not wear wool and linen, that would imply do not take the raw wool and the raw linen, put it together, that's already an issa of shatnez. But the Torah says, lo silbash shatnez. So shatnez has another translation. Shatnez is a neitrikun. Shatnez is a word that's broken down into three words. The shin ayin makes the word shua, the test makes the word tavi, and the nun zayin makes the word nuz. I'm sure these are things that you all learned already. We're just going to demonstrate them, and this way we'll understand better what is the issa, what is shatnez d'oraisa. So the translation of the word shua is combing.
Smooth.
So here what I have here, a wooden comb that has metal teeth. I'm going to take a lock of wool. I'm going to attach it to the teeth of the comb. And then with a second comb, I'm going to actually comb it. So this is shua. In order to create shatnez, the wool has to be combed. If the wool is not combed, it will become usa. The linen is also combed, but there's different utensils that are used to comb the linen. After it is combed, it is then spun. I'm going to remove this combed wool from the cards.
Card.
The card here. Then we're going to take a spindle. A spindle is a stick which has a weight on the bottom, a hook on top. We talk about the spindle every Friday night in Aisha's Chayil. The Aisha's Chayil is Doshot Semer with Hishim. She makes certain there's no shatnez in the home. The Chaper Hot Tomchu Falech. With her hand, she holds a Falech. This is called a Falech. Falach is a spindle, a stick, which has a weight on the bottom. We're going to take this tug of wool and attach it to this hook and fold downwards. And as it folds downwards, it twists and ties all the fibers together, creating a yoke.
Thread.
Okay. It's called a thread when it's two threads, two yarns twisted together, then it's called a thread. Now it's called a yoke. So here, this is the tibia, the spinning process. So this is all in the word sharpness. And then the Nun Zion makes the word shazira. The translation of the word shazira is plying. What exactly is plying? Because something has to be done to this thread that this thread shouldn't unravel. What has to be done to this thread? We have to make it from a one ply to a two ply, a chut kafel. When we're going to switch it into a chut kafel, then it's not going to unravel. So how are we going to do that? I'm going to demonstrate that to you. I'm just going to take this thread off the spindle. I'm going to tie the two ends. Okay, so what's going to happen now is now I'm going to spin it in the opposite direction that it was originally spun. So I spun it clockwise. Now I'm going to spin it anti-clockwise. And the two threads are going to
come on.
Are going to twist around each other. And since I'm spinning it in the opposite direction that it was originally spun, so now the two threads interlock with each other and they won't unravel. So the Torah says in order to create sharpness, what you have to do is you have to take the wool, comb the wool, spin it, and then make it into a two-ply yarn. Now, yaftov, you do the same thing to linen. Then yaftov, you put the two threads together.
Oh, by spinning it together?
However you put it together, you can knot it together, weave them, you can glue them, you can staple them. Doesn't make them how you put them together. As long as you put those two threads together, now you've created sharpness, the eraisa, according to Roy Preisler. Another type of the word nuz is weaving. No, exactly. Because the pasuk says like silbash. So that's the Shulchan Aruch and Siman Dalet Shinu. It says, mutar la'aseisam u'lekaimam. You're allowed to create sharpness, you're allowed to own sharpness. It's not like Bosa Bechala, where the Torah says, Loi Sevashem, but there's Issa Vishem.
Does that mean the people don't even wear it? Let's say it's raining outside, I want to put it on top just to
protect the rain. So the Mishnah says, Geshamim Mifnei HaGeshamim. That's the Lashon of the Mishnah. You're not allowed to take sharpness and wear it, Geshamim Mifnei HaGeshamim. So that's also.
Use the word grain, but anything else, but you're not wearing it normal wearing way.
As long as it's draped over you, I mean, you're allowed to use it. The question is if you're allowed to use it as an umbrella. Use it as an umbrella. If you're not going to bring it too close to yourself, then maybe it's okay. Because an oihel is allowed to be shown. You're allowed to have a ceiling that is shown. So now now that you understand what sharpness deraisa is, so this explains why the problem we have in sweaters is an issa of sharpness deraisa, because you have one two-ply thread of linen, and all sweaters are two-ply. So you have a two-ply wool thread, and this little piece of linen thread is knotted and caught into the fabric of the sweater, so that's already sharpness deraisa.
Are there some places where you say that it has to be wool and linen?
Yeah, that's the next thing that we're going to get.
Okay.
So what I had just demonstrated to you was Shitas Rabbeinu Tam, which Roy Preisler can go with Shitas Rabbeinu Tam. When we're learning in Yeshiva, we're learning Yevamos, so we saw Shitas Rashi. Shitas Rashi is a little different, and Rashi says the wool and the linen has to be mixed from the very beginning. So let me demonstrate to you Shitas Rashi, and this will answer the question, when do we have the Yifayshish that something is mislabeled? So Rashi says, in order to create Shatnas Deraisa, the wool and the linen has to be mixed from the very beginning. So now I'm going to actually make Shatnas. Like we spoke out, there's no Issa to make Shatnas, this is only to wear Shatnas. So here I have the dried out stalks of linen. I'm going to take some of the stalks of linen and I'm going to mix it together with the wool. It actually says, in order to create Shatnas Deraisa, I have to take the wool and the linen and comb them together. So here I'm going to comb the wool and the linen. So here we've combed, we did the first step. Rashi says the shua, the combing has to be done to the wool and the linen. And after the shua being done to the wool and the linen, then we spin from this mixture, we spin a thread that this actual thread is made of wool and linen. And now you're going to see what a thread of wool and linen looks like. Now, being that linen is something that's hard and wool is something that's soft, so what tends to happen when you mix wool and linen, it doesn't create such a fine thread like we created before when we just did wool by itself. It creates a bumpy thread, a thread that has enlarged areas, as you can see. And that happens because when you mix something that's hard together with something that's soft, so the hard pieces accumulate and create what's called slots, enlarged areas within the thread. And that's what you can see on the picture over here. And this is what typically would happen when you mix the wool and linen.
Why is it more expensive?
So linen is more expensive because the processing of linen is much more expensive. But to create a fine linen thread that won't have all these bumps in it, and it's going to create an even thread that takes a lot of.
So why do companies use it? It's expensive.
So they use a lot of raw linen. They're not using the fine linen. So raw linen is very common. So now, this is where Rashi says, the spinning is from this mixture creating a thread that's wool and linen. And Nuz Rashi translates is Ariga, is weaving, taking all these threads, weaving them on a weaving loom, creating a fabric from these actual threads. Now, do we have such fabric today? We would think that today to have shatnas according to Shitas Rashi is something that's beyond us, something that will never happen. However, that's not the case. No, according to Rashi, you don't need two flies. Even one fly is sufficient. So now the Rabbeinu Tam is also masking to Shitas Rashi. So I'll show you some examples. Here, I have an H&M pair of pants, which you see on the label, it actually says it's made of wool and linen. And this type of linen, when you see the blue and the white in this case, where it's like blended together, it looks like a mixture. This is the typical look of something that's made of wool and linen. I was here not so long ago, it was Friday night. I was having one of the shuls in Klapush. I was putting away my siddur, and this boy tried to push his way past me. I saw he was wearing a jacket made of this. I didn't take my hand away. And before he knew it, I was looking at his label, and it said wool and linen. I told him, the jacket comes right off. And he took it off. I told him, now it's muktzah. So you have to put it down and keep it in. Yeah, Baruch Hashem, he wasn't wearing the same pants. He would have really had a crowd. So the question is, what is the halacha if somebody's wearing a pants that's made of wool and linen? So this question was asked to the Magister of Shishiva, of Yudas Segal. And he thought for a moment and he said, if it would happen to him, hopefully he would have the siyat and the shema to be able to take it off.
So,
but the halacha is that you're supposed to take it off. No choice.
The shul has a bathroom.
Yeah. So we can't even get to the bathroom.
Has to get home.
So it's happened. Here's a skirt, black, and all these white streaks in it. This is also made of wool and linen.
They can't color the linen black, right? Or they want to leave it white.
Yeah, but this is a typical look. When you see this type of a look, this is an example that you do, this would say 100% polyester, and it has this textured feel to it, and this look, then you can assume that maybe it's mislabeled, and it may be wool and linen. It may be wool and cotton, it may be wool and silk, but there's a possibility that it may be wool and linen.
What is polyester?
Polyester is an oil-based fiber. So depending on the price of the gasoline, that determines the price of the polyester.
There you go.
It looks like a wool fit.
Here's a picture I'm showing of a Bill Blast jacket, where this Bill Blast jacket is, didn't say what it was made out of, but this was wool and linen.
It didn't say the label?
Didn't say on the label.
It's a violation, though.
Yeah. A lot of things made in the USA don't say what it's made out of. Here's a leather glove for somebody who, given this as a gift. She brought it in to be tested for sharpness, and you see it has these brown specks. So anything that looks blended and mixed, raises a red flag, and this happened to be 99% wool, and it only had 1% linen. According to what I saw under the microscope, it was a very small amount of linen, but the issue of sharpness, there's no business. When it's only wool and linen, there's no business. It could be 99% wool, 1% linen. Tarubis asa Torah. The Torah asked the mixture of wool and linen. The Torah didn't say how much wool and how much linen. By Basa B'cholav is Tarub asa Torah. So therefore, there's a shishit.
Wasn't only wool and linen, but wool, linen, and
another. Yeah, that's when we have the binding. Yeah. Yes. If the thread is made of three minim, like it's a Mishnah in Kalayim, the Mishnah says you have Tzemer Rechelim, and the Roiv is Tzemer Gemalim, and the Tzemer Rechelim is both. And then you're allowed to take that thread and put it into a linen gas. So this is what the laboratories are busy with, when there's bittul, when there's no bittul, and so on. But if it's only tzemer efficient, then there's no bittul.
You're able to tell what type of wool thread is made out of?
Yes, that we have special, I mean, we took courses in identifying cashmere, mohair, packer, camel, all the different hairs.
Visually?
No, through the microscope. Through the microscope and different methods. Now the question is, so we've learned so far is to read the labels. We've also learned if it mentions wool, should we check, mentions linen. We've seen now what types of garments we choshes that are mislabeled. Here's a custom-made pant made by Fino. It said on the label 100% wool. If you take close look at the fabric, you'll see there's some irregularity in the fabric. It's wool in one direction and linen in the other direction. And now you know, when you look at fabrics, take a second look and see what it seems to you. Is it pure wool? Is it not pure wool? And that will help.
Yeah, you mentioned that it says wool. Should we check if it says 100% wool, but it doesn't.
Things that mention 100% wool, that just means the fabric itself. Right. But it doesn't tell you about the stitchings and the interfacings and the reinforcements.
Any specific company that mostly they, Brooks Brothers, is most of them they are sharpness.
No. But some companies make a lot of sharpness, some companies very little. But all companies have had sharpness one time or another. Now the question is, you have a jacket that doesn't mention wool, doesn't mention linen. It's a polyester, poly rayon jacket. Does that have to be checked? So the answer is, Yes, because any garment that has interfacing, interlinings, within the interlinings, you could have wool and linen, especially jackets. Because the interfacing of every jacket, which is called the front canvas, and that's what gives the jacket the shape of a jacket, the fabric that they use always has wool in it. Maybe it's a small percentage, maybe it's a larger percentage. Here I'm demonstrating over here, it's a nice piece of wool that you could see, a slab of wool. So now, since even if it says on the label polyester and viscose, but us as the Shatner's laboratories, we assume that there is wool in it, which is most likely. So therefore we consider it a woolen garment. And now we have to test it to see if they have any linen. So here in this little boy's jacket, the sleeve head, which is up the sleeve, there was a canvas that had linen threads in it. So here you have within this little polyester rayon jacket, you have parts that have wool and parts that have linen. Now the question is that
it's not woven together? If I have two pieces of clothing, I sew it together, one is linen, one is wool. We don't want to learn that that's us.
Exactly. So that's why I bring this up, to bring out this point. The question is, what you're asking is, if you have a garment that's polyester, on one end of it you have wool, the other end of it you have linen, and they're not connected, is that the Issa of Shabbat? So that's called Chibur Alidei Dava Acha, where the wool and linen are connected through something else. So that is a machlekes, the Rambam and the Rosh, based on the Mishnah, depending on how you learn Shat in the Mishnah. But Rambam learns that the wool and linen don't have to be connected directly, even if it's within the same garment and they're not touching. The Rambam holds that would be Shatnez Deraisa, and he learns it from the word Yachzor. However, the Rosh holds it's not even Shatnez Derabbanan. It's perfectly Mutter, it's not a problem at all. The Chachmas also writes that the Maaser we should be machmir like Peshitas Rebbe. If his Chetshuva brings down from the Mishkanes Yaakov, we should also be machmir.
Still going.
Whatever the issue of Shatnez, this is one of the topics that come up. If the wool and linen is connected, and they'll be mekel, perhaps the Beruba, and so on.
Oh, they're not two ends of the bed. They're right next to each other with connected.
The two together, that's
the Midrash. But it's not woven.
Doesn't have to be woven. That's the sheet of the Rebbeinu Tam. Rebbeinu Tam, that's what we learned before. You take a piece of 2-ply linen and a 2-ply wool. Yachdav, you put the two together, so that's Shat Midrash. Doesn't make, you sew it together, that's the Mishnah. It says, Shet Kifayt, Yachdav is Shet Kifayt. If you take a thread and you go once in and once out, I mean, it's connecting the piece of wool and piece of linen to that shot in the pair. Here's another example. Here's a snowsuit which said on the label 100% microfiber. And the person who brought it in, because the fabric inside the hood and the booty didn't feel like polyester, it felt like wool, which in truth it was 100% wool. Then it had this little thread that was attached to it, this orange green spiral thread that was pure linen. Here's an example where it's not connected, but this is easily removable and it's perfectly fine.
What's the definition of microfiber?
Micropolyester is a microfiber, just they call sometimes polyester microfiber because it's much finer than the regular polyester.
Polyester is made of what?
Oil-based fibers.
Synthetic.
Yeah, there's two types of synthetic fibers. There's oil-based fibers, and there's cellulose-based fibers. Like rayon, modal, cupro, those are cellulose-based fibers. Those are much weaker synthetic fibers. Now, fur hats, Russian fur hats, people come in, people go to the Ukraine or they go to the repayment taxation, they buy themselves these hats, 50% of these has have shatnez.
Oh,
if you have this lying around and hasn't been tested, you should check it. Because even though it's a rabbit fur, something has to be put inside this hat that it should hold its shape. Like in this hat, what's inside is a layer of linen and a layer of wool.
Is it a good business at home?
Sometimes the trimmings itself contain wool and linen. Here's an example of a sweater that I just found right after paper. It says on the label 100% cotton, which is, for all the white that you see is 100% cotton. However, this thread, this decorative thread, the black is wool and the white wrapped around it is linen. It's wool and linen. So sometimes the trim itself is wool and linen. Here's an applique on a cotton sweatshirt. That's the teddy bears were wool and linen. Pom pom, if I cut it off a belt of a lady's sweater. The pom poms are wool, made of wool threads, and the thread tying all the threads together was linen. So you have wool thread and linen thread tied together. It's a shatnez d'oraisa, according to Rav Preisky. So what has to be checked? Wool items, linen items, jackets, linen look fabrics, like we demonstrated Shittas Rashi, the multicolored fabrics. There's trimmings and appliques. The trimmings and appliques could contain shatnez. So now we'll just end up with just the other pasuk of shatnez, which we asked, why is a pillow of shatnez? So there's a pasuk in Parshas Kedoshim, where the pasuk says, "Uveged kilayim shatnez lo yale alecha." So the first pasuk is like silbash, which is issa levisha, and this pasuk we learn halah. That's the Gemara in Yevamah, says halah. There's levisha differences between the two, but the pashtus halah is taking a blanket. Don't cover yourself with a blanket that is shatnez. Yeah, this is a little child blanket, which is wool. It has an applique, and the applique is linen. The picture on it is linen. So this Rav, when I went to visit, to talk to him about his kehillah, that maybe they should establish a shatnez lavatory. So he was proud to share with me a little incident that he had. There was this mother and father came to him, and they complained about their child, that their child is constantly crying. So they all said, maybe check the baby's blanket for shatnez. And they checked the baby's blanket. The baby's blanket was wool and linen. They switched it for another blanket, and then this baby became a regular baby. But then he told me, you know, these people have come from Russia, and in those days, a lot of things coming from Russia were shatnez, and maybe that's why he thought of it. Our component, there's another interesting thing which one wouldn't think of. There's a talus.
Oh, no.
A colleague of mine had given a shia in Hano about shatnez and mentioned alterations is a problem. Sometimes they add a piece. When the seamstress or the tailor adds a piece of material, you have to be concerned if what was added was a piece of linen, wool or wool to linen. So here, this person came over after the shiur and he said he had his talus fixed. And he wanted to know what the fabric that they had used. And they'd used a piece of linen. And he had been wearing this talus for about 10 years. Now, he had other talisim in between that he also had fixed, and they were also shatnez. And we tracked it down to a cleaner's in Barbara on 16th Avenue. And we went in there, and the guy says he knows how to test the shatnez. That's what he told me. And I asked him to see his fabrics. He had no idea. He was basically, for years, he was fixing talisim, and that was his main business. To fix talisim, he was fixing talisim with linen. And then we found other cleaners in Barbara that were doing the same thing. So
isn't this an exception to shatnez?
So So that's what people say. We know tzitzis because we all learn the Gemara that klayim betzitzis is mutter. But klayim betzitzis, what's mutter is the tcheles, right? The tcheles, you have a sadin shal tzitzis, you have a garment made of linen. She allowed to have the tcheles, the blue wool is allowed to be added to it. But that's the whole heter. Right? That's not math. Today we don't have tcheles, so we don't have the heter of klayim betzitzis. Yeah, that is a sadin betzitzis is the problem. Now, there's an issa midrabanan that one is not allowed to sit on Shabbos. Shema tifchach nima al basarei. There's a chashash maybe as you sit on something that is shatnez, you get a thread from the couch or from the chair will fray and wrap itself around the goof and it'll be mechamem. It's going to warm you. So therefore, the Rabbanan made the Issa, we're not allowed to sit on Shabbos.
It's not halal. It's not halal.
Right. Sometimes a couch that you sink into it, the pillows of the couch come up on the sides of you. So that's a Shaila, the Taz, and other places make that Shabbos very Issa. Because it's coming up on Pashtas, sitting on a chair that is Shabbos, or sitting on a couch that is Shabbos is an Issa the Rabbanan. However, there's really a stira between the Mishnah and the Gemara. The Mishnah says, "Akarim v'akastos, ein v'hem mishum kelayim." There's no issa to sit, to sleep, or sit on karim v'akastos, which is pillows and mattresses. But on condition, you're not shalayiga b'sor v'hem. As long as there's a separation between you and the shatnez, it's okay. However, the Gemara in Be'ah, the Gemara says, you have esem atzois, you have 10 mats, and the one underneath is shatnez, you're not allowed to sleep on the one on top. So there's a stira between the Mishnah and the Gemara. So the Beis Yosef says, the Mechaber says, there's a difference between rachim and kosher. If it's soft, even if it's all the way underneath, it's awesome. If it's hard, then as long as there's a sheet or something in between, then it's okay. So what's an example? A mattress. A person sleeps on a mattress. Mattresses are considered koshim, the orthopedic mattresses, not like the mattresses that used to be years ago, which was soft that you sank into the mattress. But today, our mattresses are considered koshim. So even if the mattress would be shatnez, since you're not sleeping directly on the shatnez, you're not sleeping directly on the mattress, you put a sheet over the mattress, so therefore it's perfectly okay. But there is, so now pillows, one is not allowed to sit on a pillow or to take the pillow and to hold it against your chest, that would also be a problem. That's it's a halal. So one should, and this is the issue, that sleeping pillows are not a problem. Couches today is not a problem of shatnez, not like years ago where there was mostly natural fibers. Today the couches are made of mostly synthetic fibers, acrylics, cartons, and stuff. And so on, so therefore that's not a problem of shatnez today. But a decorative pillow, like we see today, sometimes you can have a decorative pillow which could be shatnez, especially if it says it mentions linen, then it could have wool. Now, Amazing Savings also has pillows that just say 100% cotton, which is the exact same pillow. So some of them say wool and linen, mention the wool and linen, and some just say 100% cotton.
Have you told them or something?
What?
You contacted them?
Yeah, we told them. So their response was that their rabbi said there's no issam shatnez in pillows. their rabbi Masha said it's okay.
City buses, we have to check city buses.
No, so we don't have to be worried about the upholstery materials that we have today. Now, sometimes these pillows are filled with recycled materials. That's something you can look yourself. You can look inside, like sometimes here, what they use, it's of course not sleeping pillows, but what's coming out of this pillow is all recycled mix. And this is likely to have wool and linen inside of it, and it's something that should be avoided. Sometimes you have a seat pad or something that could be filled with the same type of materials.
That's called connected, right?
Yeah, this is called shua. This would be just shua because it's fibers that are pressed together.
And this is an
issue. So be issur d'rabbanan. Okay, so we're just going to end with a bracha from the Kamana. The Kamana ends with, when he finishes his perish on the Mishnayos in Kelaim. He has a perish for Pnei Zakan. So he says, Hazor b'Kelaim, one who's careful to make sure that he doesn't wear shatnas, nothing in his home is shatnas, Garech Yomim b'Olam Hazeh u'b'Olam Habo, will have a long life in this world and in Olam Habo. So I ask, what does it mean, Yavarichas Yomim in Olam Habo? Because once a person gets to Olam Habo, he's there from Lanetza. So what does it mean he has an Arichas Yomim? So the Pele Yoyet says, we know we do mitzvahs and ma'asim tovim in this world, and we get our reward in Olam Habo. So the reward that we get is the sustenance, is the mazon for our neshama in Olam Habo. So the Pele Yoyet asks, so what happens when it runs out? So what do you do then? So the Pelio says you have to come back again in this world and do more Torah mitzvahs. So he says, however, there's certain mitzvahs that you won't need to, if you do those mitzvahs, then you won't need to come back again in this world. And one of those mitzvahs is shan. One is careful. And that's what it says. That's the hemshach of the bracha. And a person who's careful to make sure he won't need to come back again. The Yoel is Bonim Sadiqim Chaim V'Kayamim. It's a segula to have good children, healthy children, if one is careful for the midst of Shabbos. But Yiske Gamba Oyla Mazel Kaltuv, and even in this world, the person is Zaycha to pay it. Normally, we do not get our reward is in Oylam Haba, but certain misses that we do get Teres in this world. But even though it says, Sram Mitzvah Bahai Al Maleka, but the Sfarim say that is for Mrs. Loisaseh. That is for Mrs. Asseh. But for Mrs. Loisaseh, you do get schar in this world. So being careful, making sure that our clothing don't have sharpness, that will bench us with all these barakos and Yetz Hashem, all our tefillah should be niskavo, or should be zeichet to see the Mashiach and the Dinyan Beis Hamikdash.